Good morning. Today's daf in Shavuos is Yud Gimel. We are on Yud Beis Amud Beis. We are at the two dots right in the center of the Amud. And we are almost finished. We're almost finished with the Mishnah. We're almost finished with the first Perek. First Perek, Yisr Hashem, will conclude tomorrow, in tomorrow's daf. And the Mishnah takes us back to Daf Beis. This first Perek of Shavuos, which was basically one long run-on sentence. It talks about Tumas Mikdash VeKedashav. Has dealt extensively, the first 11, 12 blot of the Masechta have dealt extensively with the opinions in the Mishnah regarding exactly what is being covered by the Seer of Yom Kippur. There are two Seerim in Yom Kippur, the one Bifnim with the one Bechutz, the Seer of Yontav and the Seer of Rosh Chodesh. These Seer Echatas that are offered at various points of the year are providing some coverage for Tumas Mikdash, for Kedashav. What aspects of Tumas Mikdash, for Kedashav? So that is the Machlokas we saw back in the Mishnah. It is a four-way Machlokas. Somewhere between the number 3 and 4, because there are two positions within Rabbi Shimon. There's Rabbi Shimon himself, and then another opinion in the Mishnah, quoted B'Shem Rabbi Shimon, so there are two Rabbi Shimons in the Mishnah, and then there's also a Rabbi Yehuda, and there's a Rabbi Meir. So those are the three Shitas in the Mishnah. So over the course of Shabbos, we looked up the Rambam together, the Rambam in Hilchos Shkogos, in the 11th Perek, so he follows the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. You're not going to see the Shulchan Aruch poskening on this matter. This is not halacha lemaisa for us, unfortunately, but bizman beis hamikdash. So the Rambam covers all the halachas in the Mishnah Torah. So as we all know, so we looked up the Rambam over Shabbos in the 11th parak. So he poskens like Rabbi Yehuda. So that the Yontav and the Yom Kippur seirim are the same, and Rosh Chodesh is different. And anyway, that's the that is the rundown of the. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Rosh Chodesh and the Yontav and the Yontav Karbanos are the same. The Yom Kippur and the Yom Kippur ones are different. Okay. Anyway, so the Rambam goes like Rabbi Yehuda, and in the meantime, however, we're finally now getting to the end of the Mishnah. And if you remember, this is now almost 2 weeks ago when we saw the Mishnah. So if you remember the end of the Mishnah, so I'm just going to be quoting from the end of the Mishnah, and then we'll go to our Gemara and we'll turn to our Gemara's discussion. After the Mishnah went through all the opinions about Tumas Mikdash VeKedashav and the various Karbanos that are offered over the course of the year, then the Mishnah talks about the Zdonos. What about if a person blatantly violated the Sermon of the Torah? Mm-hmm. Or specifically, blatantly violated Tumas Mikdash VeKedashav. Al Zadon Tumas Mikdash VeKedashav. So what about the person who does it with Zadon? Meaning the Mishnah up until this point in time was only talking about somebody who was a Shogeg. And then it's a question of what kind of Shogeg. Is it it was the Yedia Betchila, Yediyah Besof, and all the various permutations. But if a person was a Zadon, so Seir Nasa Bifnim, V'yam Kippur Mechaper. So for that, the Seir that is done interior, meaning the one that is, whose blood is brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Parochis, and the Mizbech HaPnimi, so for that Seir is going to be providing coverage for that. Ashar Avir Shabbatara, and then when it comes to all the other Avirs in the Torah, which are Kalos Chamuros, Donos V'Shkagos, we'll be spending time this morning going over exactly what that's referring to. Hoda v'lo hoda, asa v'lo asa, hoda v'lo hoda, hasa v'lo ase v'lo sase, krisus and misus bezdin, si'ir ha-mishtalech mechaper. So for all those averos, so the outer si'ir is going to be mechaper. Echad Yisraelim ve'echad Kohanim ve'echad Kohen Meshuach. And then the Mishnah says, everybody, meaning both Kohen and non-Kohen alike, and then the Mishnah says, almost like a turn, and the Gemara later on is going to ask the question, the Mishnah over here seems to be so sure itself, Ma'am being Yisrael and the Kohen and the Kohen Mashiach. Now, what's the difference between Yisrael versus a Kohen, after the Mishnah just got done saying that they're on the same level playing field? Elo Sheha Par Mechap El Kohen and Maltomas Mikdash V'Kadashav. Okay. This part of the Mishnah, I'll save for later. We're going to be discussing it more in detail later. But anyway, let's focus now on what we just read in the Mishnah, Al Zdonos. That if a person is a Zadon, so in knowing that he's Tameh, goes into the Beis HaMikdash, knowing that he's Tameh, or while knowing that he's Tameh, eats Karban, so what's going to be providing a Kapar for him? So that is the Seir Anasa Bifnim. So that's what's providing coverage. How do I know that? That's where we start with our Gemara today. We're on Yud Beis Amud Beis. We're right at the halfway point on the page. Al Zadon Tumas Mikdash for Kadosh Seir Anasa Bifnim. Minahan Emili. The Gemara's question over here is, how do I know this? Tanur Rabban V'chipa L'Kodosh Mitumos B'nei Yisrael. The Torah, in describing the Sierra Nasa Bifnim, so it says that it's going to be providing a kapar for the Jewish people from Pshaim. And what does the word Pesha mean? Pshaim Eloham Meradim. So Pesha is synonymous with the term Merida. It's a rebellion. V'cheinu Omer, Melech Moav, Pasha Bi. Towards the beginning of Sefer Malachim, so a coalition was proposed between the north and the south that they both fight against Moab. And the king of the north said to the king of the south, Melech Moab Pasha Bi, that the king of Moab rebelled against me. So you see the word Pasha over here in terms of a rebellion. V'cheinu Omer, Melech Moab Pasha Bi, V'omer, Astif Shal Livna Be'isahi. So you see that the word Pesha is used in relationship to a rebellion. Chataos, now as far as the word Chet is concerned, Elo Ashkagos V'cheinu Omer Nefesh Ki Secheta Bishkaga. Okay, and we know that the word Chet is generally associated with the Shogeg. So, again, so just a simple reading of the Pasuk would teach us that the Seir Nasa Bifnim, so that's going to handle the Zdonos, both the intentional and non-intentional crime of violating the Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosha. Okay. And now, finally, we're up to the last part of the Mishnah, Ashar Averus. So we read this section of the Mishnah just a moment ago. Now we're looking at the Gemara's discussion. Ashar Averus, Shabbatorah, Akolos, V'achamur, Zazdonos, V'ashkagos. So what bothers the Gemara right now is the following. We're basically now saying that the Seir Mishlech is going to be providing coverage for everything else. The Mishnah doesn't just simply say everything else. The Mishnah actually specifies what is included in everything else. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Hainu Kalos, Hainu Aseh, V'lo Saseh. When we're talking about the Averus Kalos of the Torah, the quote-unquote lighter Averus in the Torah, obviously everything is relative, and so when you're talking about lighter versus heavier versus more stringent, so they're all a violation of Ratzon Hashem, it's all against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but still, even within this, we have a way of making a distinction, and it's actually very simple, meaning if it's just a regular lav, we're going to call that Kalos, in relationship to, relative to, something where you're chayv karis, or something where it's mises beisdin. So that obviously is more chamor. What bothers the Gemara right now is that the Mishnah actually spells everything out and then spells it out again, meaning the Mishnah is actually repetitive. Hainu kalos, hainu aseh v'lo saseh. When we say kalos, we're basically talking about your standard violation of both positive and negative prohibitions. And negative meaning just straightforward negative prohibitions. One that don't have attached to it a chayv karis or chayv mises beisdin. Chamuros, which the Mishnah mentions, Hainu Krisus and Mises Beisdin. So Chamuros actually is a reference to Krisus and Mises Beisdin, but the Mishnah mentions that as well. So in other words, the Mishnah seems to be repetitive as it's saying both Chamuros and Krisus and Mises Beisdin. Hoda Hainu Mezid and Lo Hoda Hainu Shogeg. And when the Mishnah says Hoda, that means something that was done by Mezid, meaning he knows about it, and still he violates it. And Lo Hoda, so that's a reference to Shogeg. So basically now, what bothers the Gemara is something really simple. Why is the Mishnah repeating itself when articulating everything else? Shar Averus. So I'm Rav Yosef HaChikamer. I'm Rav Yehuda HaChikamer. So Rav Yehuda says, this is Pshat in the Mishnah. This is how we're going to read the Mishnah. Al Shar Averus Shabbatara, Bein Kalos, Bein Chamuros. When it comes to the other Averus in the Torah, whether they're Kal or Chamor. Bein She'asan B'shogeg, Bein She'asan Memezid. So, and whether or not you violate both Bishogeg or Bemezid. Osan Sha'asan Bishogeg, and those that have done Bishogeg, Bain Nodalan Sfeikan, Bain Lo Nodalan Sfeikan. And if you did a Bishogeg, we're talking about whether the Suffolk was known to you or whether the Suffolk was not known to you. Ve'eluhain Kalos, Ese Velo Sase, and these are the Kalos, both the Ase and the Lo Sase, Ve'eluhain Chamuros. Krisus umesis beisdin. Basically, as Rashi points out over here, what did Rav Yehuda do in terms of helping our understanding of the Mishnah? The Mishnah is not repeating, the Mishnah is actually explaining. Meaning, basically, the style of the Mishnah is that you fold over the Mishnah so that it is explaining itself. Meaning that when the Mishnah tells us kalos and chamuros, then the Mishnah goes on to explain what are kalos, that's ese and los ase. What are chamuros, that's krisus and mises beisdin. So that is how Rav Yehuda reads the Mishnah. Okay. Another important point which Rashi makes over here is the following. When the Mishnah is talking about doing something b'shogeg, so the shogeg over here is talking about not your standard your standard shogeg of an Isser Kares, but rather an Asham Tali. Take a look at the Rashi Dibra Maschel Ben Kishas B'Shogeg. So, Hai Shogeg Dahacha, Rashi writes, the Shogeg mentioned over here, Lek Lefrusha Lebedavah Shein Shigas Ochatas, El Asham Talu. We're speaking specifically over here of an Asham Talu. Kigon, Achal Achas Mishaych Hatichos, Achal Shochele, V'Achal Shoshuman, V'Eina Yodea Me'ezem Me'amacha. The classic case of an Asham Talu is as follows. There are two pieces of fat in front of me. One of it is Chelev and the other is Shuman. In other words, from every animal that you shecht, so there are basically two types of fats. One is the ones that we eat. That's the fat connected to the muscle. Muscular fat, which quite frankly is delicious, may not be so healthy, but it's delicious. That's what makes meat good. So that's shuman. That's mutter, obviously. The other fats, which are aser, we never see because they don't go to the store. So that's the chelev. The chelev are those hard fats that are connected to the organs, right? Over various organs of the animal, the stomachs, the kidneys, there's a hard fat that's connected to them, that's chelev. So in the event that a person has two fats in front of him, one shum and one chelev, and he eats one of the two pieces of fat, and he doesn't know which one he ate. So it's a suffix. So it's a doubt as to whether or not he ate chelev or he did not eat chelev. If he know for sure that he ate chelev and he did so b'shogeg, so he has to bring a karban chatos. If he doesn't know if he ate chelev or he ate shuman, so under those circumstances, he has to bring a karban ashram talui. Right, that's the classic example that's given for an Ashram Talui. Rashi points out over here that the Shogeg being referenced over here is the Ashram Talui. It's not a Karban Chatas. Why? So Rashi over here points out, because if you're Chayav a Karban Chatas, even if Yom Kippur comes and goes, you're still going to be Chayav a Karban Chatas even after Yom Kippur is over. So the idea that Yom Kippur can, so to say, take care, can resolve your Shogeg violation is only talking about an Ashram Talui. It's not talking about a standard Karban Chatas. Okay, just an important note by Rashi over here. In the meantime, however, so fine. So now we have said over the Mishnah. So Shar Averos, what about the fact that the Mishnah seems to be repeating itself? The Gemara says it's not. The Mishnah is really folded over, and the Mishnah is just kind of explaining itself. Very good. Now, the Gemara says, Asavalosa, Ve'elein, Chamor's Krisis, Mishnah's Basin. Okay. Hai Asay Hechidami. So the Gemara says now, you're violating Yom Kippur you're violating Nesei in the Torah, and Yom Kippur is providing the Kapara. So the Gemara says, let's see if we can understand this a little bit better. So the Gemara says, let's say, for example, that he knows that he sinned. In other words, because one of the examples over here is where he did so bezadon, he did so intentionally. So he knows that he sinned, and he didn't do tshuva. So the Gemara says, Zevach Rishayim To'eva. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. How can the Sira Mishlech provide any kind of kapara? We know that the Torah says, now it's not a pasuk in the Chumash, but we know the Navi says, Zevach Rishayim To'eva. That if a carbon is coming from a Rasha, so that is an abomination. Which presumably means a Kadosh Baruch Hu does not accept it. So the Sira Mishlech, which parenthetically, by the way, just as an interesting note, meaning to put it under the classic category of carbon, It's a little bit of a stretch because it's not offered in the Beis Hamikdash. The blood is not offered on the Mizbeach. The blood is not sprinkled on the Mizbeach. So, okay, but it's part of the Avodas Yom Kippurim. And okay, and our Gemara over here seems to, you know, somehow put it under the category of a carbon. Okay, for another time, it's just an interesting note. But anyway, but it shouldn't be accepted, meaning it's Zevach Rishayim. If you're going into Yom Kippur and you're not a Shav and you didn't do tshuva and you know you sinned and quite frankly, you don't care so much, so the carbon shouldn't affect you. It shouldn't be effective towards you. And Eidav Tshuva Kol Yumanami. And the Gemara says, and let's say you did Tshuva. If we're talking about the violation of an Asay, a positive commandment of the Torah, Tshuva is all you need. And the Gemara points out. So, Avar al-Mitzvah says, V'asa Tshuva, Lo Zaz Misham al-Sham al-Chum Lo. The Gemara over here quotes the Gemara from Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma teaches us that when a person violates an asay, a bittul asay, he negates the positive commandment of the Torah, and then regrets it, tells the Kadosh Baruch Hu he's really sorry, he won't do it again, or actually I should say better, he will do it again, meaning he feels terrible that he violated an asay, he was mevatal an asay, so that's it, meaning that tshuva is what you need in order to provide a kapara. So where are we on Yom Kippur right now where the carbon of Yom Kippur, the Siyam Shalech of Yom Kippur is going to provide you for a kapara? Either you're not a Chozer B'Tshuva, which means that it's not going to help you, or you are a Chozer B'Tshuva, but then you don't need Yom Kippur. So where are we right now? So, Amar Rebbe Zeira. as we turn now to the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. So Be'omed B'mirdo. So the Gemara says that really what's happening over here is they didn't do tshuva. He was mevatel in this, he was mevatel, I'll say, of the Torah, and he's right now, he's staying firm, and he's obstinate, and he's not doing tshuva. And our Mishnah over here, our Mishnah, meaning the first Mishnah of Masechta Shavuot, the first Mishnah of the first Perek of Shavuot, subscribes to the opinion of Rebbe. Now, at the end of Yuma, we discuss the opinion of Rebbe extensively, and today also we're going to be studying it pretty extensively as well. Rebbe has an extraordinarily interesting shita. D'tanya, the Gemara here quotes now on the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Rebbe Omer al kol aver shebetorah. On any of the averes in the Torah, bein asa tshuva, bein lo asa tshuva, whether he did or did not do tshuva, Yom HaKippurim mechaper. Yom Kippur will provide a kapara. Chutz, with notable exceptions. Parik Ol, Megalapanim Betorah, Mefer Bris Bebasar. Three averes, which I'm going to define and identify in just a moment. But short of these three exceptions, where Shem Asa Tshuva, Yom Kippur Mechaper, V'Yemavin Yom Kippur Mechaper. Where for these three, if you do tshuva, then Yom Kippur works. But if you don't do tshuva, Yom Kippur will not be effective for these three averes. But short of these three averes, which again I'm going to define in just a moment, Yom Kippur is a mechaper in of itself. So now here's what we're saying, meaning that in our mission, when the Mishnah says that this year Mishnah provides a kapara for the person who violates the avera, and even though he knows he violated the avera, and even though he is still stubbornly maintaining his position that I did the avera and I'm going to do it again, and I'm not interested in tshuva, for that individual, Yom Kippur will be effective. Okay, it is certainly an opinion which, you know, if you really spend time thinking about it, it's difficult. It's a difficult position to try to understand. Meaning, we know that Yom Kippur is a Yom HaKippurim; it provides kapara. But in other words, for the person who is not interested in the kapara, and according to Rebbe, that's right. In other words, it provides kapara for any person. There's a koach hayom that provides a kapara. It's a really fascinating shita. What are the three notable exceptions of Rebbe Yehuda Nasi? So let's go through each one with Rashi. So Rashi talks first about Parikol. Parikol is kofar beikar. Okay, so in other words, somebody denies an Akadosh Baruch Hu. Denies the existence of Akadosh Baruch Hu. Or second example, Megalapanim b'Torah. So Baal Divrei Torah b'chutzpah uvigilu azus panos. So he approaches the pasuk and he approaches it with a lot of disrespect. Rashi gives the example. We saw this back in the 11th parak of Sanhedrin Kagon. Menashe shayoshe v'dorsh ba'agadosh shodofi. Right, Menashe, when he gets to psukim in the Torah, so he would look at them and kind of ridicule the psukim in the Torah. Lo hayel lamosh lichsov ela v'timna haisapi legish v'yelech ruven b'mektzir chitim. Right, the Menashe, who was the son of Chizkiyahu, who the Gemara debated whether or not he does or does not have a chelek in Olam Haba. Remember back to the 11th parak of Sanhedrin. So he gets to certain stories in the Chumash. Why do we know that? Why do we need to know the concubine of Esav? Why do we need to know about Yehuda picking flowers out in the field? I'm sorry, Reuven picking flowers out in the field. Meaning what's Moshe doing regaling with us with these kinds of stories? And he approaches these stories with chutzpah. They're not necessary stories. They're not telling us anything. So that's his approach to Torah. That's megala panim b'Torah, having chutzpah towards psukim in the Torah. And finally, mefer bris, Rashi says, is the basar mila. Somehow he tries to undo the mila. So under those circumstances, so for these three averas, even Rebbe, who says that Yom Kippur provides a kapara automatically for those who do not do tshuva, for these three averas, Yom Kippur only provides a kapara if a person does tshuva. How does Rebbe know all this? Or where's the source for Rebbe's position? My time at the Rebbe, we're back in the Gemara. We're about 8 lines down from the top of the Amud. D'tanya, the Gemara quotes the following b'raisa. Ki dvar Hashem baza. So the dvar Hashem, so this person was mivaze. He put it down. He maligned it. So zeh porik ol megala panim b'Torah. So this actually covers exceptions 1 and 2 for Rebbe. Porik Ol. So how is it? How is a person Porik Ol? So Rashi points out over here because we know that when it comes to the Aseret Dibros, Dibros 1 and 2 were told to us directly by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Dvar Hashem, the word of Hashem, meaning when did all of Am Yisrael hear the word of Hashem? So that's for Dibros 1 and 2. What's Dibros 1 and 2? Anochi Hashem and Lo Yelecha, Elohim Achirim. So if you are negating that, so that's Dvar Hashem. So you are Mevazeh. In addition to that, that also covers number 2 as well. What's number 2? Looking at Pesukim in the Torah with Chutzpah. What's that Pesuk doing there? So that's also Dvar Hashem Bazah. It's a Bizui of the Pesukim in the Torah. So that covers Parik Ol and Megalapanim B'Torah. Es Mitzvah Sav Hefar Zeh HaMefer Bris. The Mitzvah Sav, right? The Mitzvah. Okay, what is the reference to the Mitzvah? So that's the individual mitzvah that was given to us. That's the mitzvah of bris milah. So, and when you're mefer, meaning that the person's looking to try to cover up his bris milah. So he kares tikares, and now the Torah describes that the person is going to be cut off with the double lashon. Why the double lashon? He kares lefnei yom kippurim, tikares la'acher yom kippurim. This is the example where Yom Kippur will come and go and not affect these averas. Which means that what's the default setting? The default setting is that Yom Kippur comes and goes and clears up all the other averas. It's only for these three averas where Yom Kippur doesn't clear it up. Now, when does Yom Kippur not affect these averas? That's only when there's no tshuva. That's only as long as the avon is still there. But if the avon is no longer there, meaning, i.e., he did tshuva, so tshuva coupled together with Yom Kippur, according to Rebbe, will give you a kapara even for these three. So, this psukim, which parenthetically, by the way, are not found regarding Yom Kippur, meaning these are psukim and Parsha Shlach, but these psukim over here are teaching us, according to Rebbe, that when it comes to Shara Averis, any of the other Averis, not the big three, but in other words, we're not talking about Kilurai Shvichas Damim, Avodah Zarah, we're talking about Parik Ol, and Megalapanim, and being made for Bris Mila. So for these three, Yom Kippur does not provide automatic kapara. Outside of these three, according to Rebbe, Yom Kippur provides automatic kapara. And even with these three, if a person does tshuva, so then Yom Kippur is going to affect it. Now, v'rabbanan, the Chachamim do not subscribe to the Shita of Rebbe. Now, what are they going to do with these psukim? He kares b'olam hazeh, tikares l'olam haba. So the Chachamim say that the double lashon hikares tikares is not talking about before and after Yom Kippur, but rather it's talking about this world and the next world. So hikares b'olam hazeh, tikares l'olam haba, avon haba, shimasa tshuva, umeis misa memerekes. So that means to say that if a person violated these three averas, and he didn't do tshuva, so then the double lashon hikares tikares will be both in this world and the next world. But if he does tshuva, and then he has a misa, so the tshuva coupled with his misa will provide a kapar for these three averos. That is what the Chachamim do with this, but it is not a reference to Yom Kippur. And that means that according to the Shita of the Chachamim, so Yom Kippur is only going to be providing kapara for the person who does tshuva. But for the person who doesn't do tshuva, Yom Kippur does not become an automatic mechaper. Misa is mechaper everything, but in other words, for these averos, only with tshuva. Okay, that's the sheet of the Chacham. Okay, so what do we have right now on the table? We have our Mishnah. Our Mishnah talks about the Sira Meshlech providing a kapara. And it provides a kapara for everything, and including that everything, the Mishnah says one of the things it includes is the Suri Aseh, meaning bitul Aseh. You didn't do a mitzvah Aseh in the Torah, and Yom Kippur is going to be providing a kapara, to which the Gemara's question was, I don't get it. If you did tshuva, you don't need Yom Kippur. Tshuva by itself is an automatic. And if you didn't do tshuva, so then what's Yom Kippur going to accomplish? What's Yom Kippur without tshuva? And to that now, where we stand in the Gemara, this is Rebbe Zera's proposal of our Mishnah. If that is our Mishnah, subscribe to the viewpoint of Rebbe. Rebbe, meaning Rebbe Huda Anasi, is of the opinion that Yom Kippur by itself provides a kapara. It's an automatic mechaper. And therefore, according to Rebbe Huda Anasi, if our Mishnah goes like Rav Yehuda Anasi, then it makes a lot of sense. It's very good. Meaning that Yom Kippur provides kapara, specifically, the Seir Mishlech provides a kapara for a bitul aseh, even without tshuva. The answer is yes, even without tshuva. That's right. Now, right. So, in other words, we're not talking about like an assay where it's optional. We're talking about an assay which is obligatory. So something like wearing tzitzis, that's an option. But something like eating matzah, so that's a chiyuv. What? No. Those are only two that come along with it in Issa Kares. But there are many mitzvahs essay which are obligatory, right? Tefillin, most of your mitzvahs essay. Tefillin, right? Exactly. Right. Sukkah may be optional, but okay.
Optional?
Yeah. First night, no. After the first night, yes. Okay. Right, but in other words, if you have a mitzvah, there's no punishment, there's no corporal punishment, but there's still an element of I didn't do what I was supposed to do, and I have an obligation to do it. So they're right, there's no corporal punishment over here, nor is there a karban that will affect the individual, but the individual still has to do tshuva, and the Gemara quoted the Gemara here quoted the Gemara in Yuma, which is that okay, fine. So if you do tshuva and it's a, you know, it's a sincere tshuva. So then you get a kippur right away. You don't need Yom Kippur. And if you didn't do tshuva, so then how can Yom Kippur work? So that's where we're at right now. So now what we're saying is that our Mishnah is holding like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that Yom Kippur providing kippur even for those people who are not doing tshuva. Umi matzis muk maslaka Rabbi, the Gemara says, now, is our Mishnah going to really work out holding like Rabbi, meaning Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, v'ham in the sefer Rabbi Yehuda, hi resha nami Rabbi Yehuda, diktani sefa. Now the Gemara says, now we know who the author of our Mishnah is at the end. The author of the Mishnah at the end is Rabbi Yehuda. So first let's establish that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda, because later in the Mishnah it says, Eche Yisrael ve'eche Kohen ve'eche Kohen Meshuch, that who's receiving Kapar from Sira Mishaleach? Everybody. Jew and, sorry, Kohen and non-Kohen. We're all Jewish. Right? Right. Kohen and non-Kohen are receiving the Shara Averis Kapar from the Sira Mishaleach. Uman Isle Haisvar, who holds like that? Rabbi Yehuda. So that is Shita, that Shita's Rabbi Yehuda. Mechlal de Resha Rabbi Yehuda. So now, if that's going like Rabbi Yehuda, so then that would seem to indicate that up until now, it's also been going like Shita's Rabbi Yehuda as well. Meaning it's nice to think that the Mishnah, as long as it has not clearly identified that it's a different Tana, so that means that the author of the Mishnah is the same author, it's Shita's Rabbi Yehuda. Now let's just make sure that we're clear. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was the last of the Tanaim. Which makes sense, meaning he's the grand editor of the Mishnayos, he's the Mesadr HaMishnayos, right? Actually, there was a Rashi that we saw earlier in our Masechta that would give the indication that once he taught a Mishnah, so that's it. It became super popular in the Beis Medrash, couldn't even change the Mishnah once he taught it, even though he himself may have changed his position. Anyway, so, but that's Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Not to be confused with Rabbi Yehuda, they share the same name. But not the same Tana. Rabbi Yehuda is, generally speaking, Rabbi Yehuda Eli, and he was a generation or maybe two generations above Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Right? Rabbi Yehuda was a Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. So in other words, he is the generation in between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. So when the Gemara now is saying that Rabbi is not subscribing to Rabbi Yehuda, so just to be clear, they are two different people. Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rabbi is Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda Eli. So the Gemara now is saying that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. And so now, the Gemara says, can it be that Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda can work in sync with one another? Amar of Yosef, to which the Gemara basically says, mostly, yes. Amar of Yosef, Rabbi he, v'savar like Rabbi Yehuda. Look, as far as our Mishnah is concerned, how does our Mishnah view the Sira Mishaleach? Like Rebbe, meaning our Mishnah is in fact espousing the viewpoint of Rebbe. And on top of that, who is receiving a kapar from the Sira Mishaleach? Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda, meaning that Kohanim and non-Kohanim alike are receiving their kapara of Shar Averos from the Sira Mishaleach. Amar Le Abaye. So Abaye now is listening carefully to his Rebbe. His Rebbe's Rabbi Yosef. So Amar Le Abaye. So Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, Davka Kamamar. Rabbi Savala Karevi Huda, Val Rabbi Hulo Savala Karebi, O Dilma Midi Rabbi Savala Karevi Huda, Af Rabbi Huda Savala Nami Karebi, Mia Urcha de Milsa Kitani, Lamema de Tamit Savala Karebi. So Abai says to his Rabbi Rav Yosef, I'm listening carefully to you. Do you mean to tell me that Rabbi subscribes to Rabbi Huda, but the converse can also be true, that Rabbi Huda subscribes to Rabbi? Again, let's just be clear. There are two issues being discussed in our Mishnah. One is Yom Kippur by itself a mechaper. even without tshuva? Rebbe says yes. The second issue, who is receiving a kapara from the seer and mishtaleach? According to Rabbi Yehuda, everybody. Kohen and non-Kohen alike. So, Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda. That is what the Gemara, that's what Rav Yosef just taught us. And now what Abai is asking Rav Yosef is, I now hear you that Rebbe is holding like Rebbe Yehuda, would the opposite also be true? Would Rebbe Yehuda necessarily agree to Rebbe? And even though you said it in the manner of Rebbe holding like Rebbe Yehuda, maybe the only reason why you said that is not because you wanted to, it's not because the opposite's not true, the opposite may also be true as well. But it just happens to be that chronologically, Rebbe was a later generation of Rebbe Yehuda. So therefore, it's just more appropriate to say that Rebbe subscribing to Rebbe Yehuda, it's not chronologically appropriate to say that Rebbe Yehuda holds like Rebbe, but that in of itself may be true. Amar lei, so Rav Yosef answers his Talmud in Davka Ka'amina. Rebbe Savalaka Rebbe Yehuda, Aval Rebbe Yehuda Lo Savalaka Rebbe. So the Gemara says, no, I said it, and I said it very intentionally. Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda, but the opposite's not true. Rebbe Yehuda does not hold like Rebbe, meaning Yom Kippur by itself is not a mechaper. In order for Yom Kippur to work, you need the Karbanos of Yom Kippur, but you also need Tshuva as well. And how do I know that? D'tanya. The Gemara now is going to quote a Braisa. And to be clear now, what the Gemara is going to be quoting is from the Sifra. Okay? I know I've made this point before. Let's make it again. It's really important. Okay? In terms of the Midrashim, we think about Medrash, we think about Rashi and Chumash, quoting the Midrashim. And that's good and that's important. And the Midrashim are there providing for us some background material, right? Religious messages, right? Homiletics. In other words, they are there to impart some important ideas regarding Chumash. But the Midrashim that Rashi quote, for the most part, are Midrashim that are authored by Amorayim, right? Midrash Rabbah, Midrash Tanchuma. So these are the Midrashim that are what we normally refer to as Midrashim, meaning the stories behind the stories, the homiletics. But there is Midrashim which are Midrash Halacha. The Midrash Halacha are actually predates the Gemara. I say predates, meaning in terms of the Mishnahs were around for a while. So, right, Rabbi Yehuda and Asi edited the Mishnahs, but they've been around for a while. So I'm not comfortable saying that the Medrash Halacha came before, meaning in terms of a written form, came before the Mishnahs. I really don't know, but certainly can say with clarity they were there at the same time. Meaning the Medrash Halacha, right, has been around since the Tanayim. So, and the difference between the Medrash Halacha and the Mishnayos, that the Mishnayos are more organized in terms of subject, and the Medrash Halacha are basically just following the Psukim. Meaning you read through the Medrash Halacha, and you're just basically reading through the Psukim, and then you're reading what the Tanayim have to say regarding the Psukim. What's the Medrash Halacha on Vayikra called? It's called Sifra. It also goes by the name Taras Kohanim. What's the Medrash Halacha on Bamidbar and Devarim called? So that's Sifrei. The Medrash Halacha on Shmos, that's referred to as Mechilta. And what about the Medrash Halacha on Breishis? That's a trick question. There is no Medrash Halacha on Breishis. Okay. Good. Now we're all a little bit more knowledgeable. What we're going to be quoting right now is from Sifra. This is a Medrash Halacha on Vayikra. It's called, Sifra just simply means the book. Meaning, right, it was a point in time where it was the book, meaning most of the mitzvahs in the Torah, I don't know about most, but I may be right. Right, a good number of the mitzvahs in the Torah are found in Sefer Vayikra, and so therefore the Midrashim, again, Midrashim over here, not homiletics, Midrashim over here, the drushas that we have as part of the Torah Shabbat Peh are now recorded in Sifra, it's in the book. So we're quoting from the Sifra over here. And in a moment, the Gemara is going to teach us Stam Sifra. If you have anonymous Sifra, who's the author? Who is it ascribed to? So Stam Sifra is going like Rebbe Yehuda. So just to know where we're headed, the direction we're headed, we're going to be quoting from the Sifra. We know that Stam Sifra holds like Rebbe Yehuda, and therefore that allows us now to conclude that Rebbe Yehuda may not necessarily agree with Rebbe. Let's see all this inside.
But is it his opinion, or is it something that he has been handed down?
Right. It's from the Gemara over here, it sounds like it's his opinion. The way the Gemara is contextualizing it, presenting to us, sounds like it's his opinion. That's the way the Gemara is presenting it. So, but I hear your point. Yachol yeh Yom Kippur mechaper shavim v'shein shavim. I might have thought that Yom Kippur is going to be effective for people who do or do not do tshuva. V'din hu al v'chatas v'ashem mechaper Yom Kippur mechaper. So the Gemara says, well, let's think this through. What provides kapara? Karbanos provide kapara. Yom Kippur provides kapara. Now, machatas v'ashem ein mechaper mel al shavim. So when it comes to a karban, so you bring a karban chatas, is that enough? No, it's not enough. You need vidui. You need to confess your sin over the carbon. Then and only then is the carbon effective. Otherwise, the carbon doesn't do anything. So if that's true regarding the carbon, so then Yom Kippur, same thing. Af Yom Kippurim ein mechaper el al shavim. So the Gemara says, so that's an argument that one can make that Yom Kippur works only when one does tshuva. You could also make another argument as well. Malachatos vashem shem mechaper el al mezik ashogeg. Tomali Yom Kippurim shem mechaper el al mezik ashogeg. On the other hand, Yom Kippur provides kapara for those people who violate the Torah, both in a state of shogeg and in a state of mezid. We quoted the psukim earlier this morning. That's not true by a karban chatas. Karban chatas only works for someone who violates the Torah b'shogeg. So now, on one hand, Yom Kippur's like could be compared to a karban. On the other hand, it cannot be compared to a karban. So right now, if it's just left for arguments, I don't know. I don't know if Yom Kippur can work with or without tshuva. So now we can make the argument that just like it provides kapara for shogeg and mezid, maybe we can make the argument that it should be able to provide kapara for those people who do tshuva and even for those people who don't do tshuva. So right now we don't know. Tam lomar. So now we have the Torah that says ach. When introducing us to Yom Kippur, the Torah uses the word ach, chalak. It therefore creates a division and a miut. And it's there to teach us that Yom Kippur doesn't provide a kapar for everybody. Rather, it only provides kapar for people who do tshuva and for people who are shav. But for the people who are not shav, Yom Kippur is not providing a kapara. Okay, this is a selection. This is a passage from the Sifra. Now the Gemara says, what do we know? Stam Sifra, Mani Rabbi Yehuda. We know that the Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda. V'kamar shavim in lo shavim lo. And we just learned together through the Sifra that only for the people who do tshuva, Yom Kippur is mechaper. So, when we say that Rebbe is holding like Rebbe Yehuda, that's one directional. It doesn't work the other way. Rebbe Yehuda does not hold like Rebbe. Because even though Rebbe is of the opinion that Yom Kippur by itself is a mechaper, even for those people who don't do tshuva, so we just now learned together this Sifra, and this Sifra is teaching us that no, Yom Kippur only affects people who do tshuva. Not for the non-shavim. And under those circumstances, you see clearly that, with the assumption that the Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda does not agree to Rabbi. Virami Stam Sifra, Detanya. The Gemara says, yeah, but I'm going to quote you another Sifra, and now we're going to be thoroughly confused. The Gemara quotes another passage of the Sifra. Yachlo ye Yom Kippur mechaper elim kenitanabo, v'kar bo mikra kodesh, v'lo asa bo malacha. Yom Kippur should be good for the people who afflict themselves in Yom Kippur, fast in Yom Kippur, refer to Yom Kippur as a Mikra Kodesh. Now, it's funny. On Shabbos, so we're Mekadesh Shabbos through Kiddush. On Yom Kippur, it's a bit of a challenge because, you know, we're not allowed to eat or drink. So, in other words, we don't make Kiddush on Yom Kippur. But, in other words, there has to be some sort of element of Mikra Kodesh, an awareness that it's a holy day. And Allah is above Malacha. And for the person who doesn't do Malacha on Yom Kippur, however, Yom Kippur will be effective. This is a Sifra. Yom Kippur will be effective for the people who do not afflict themselves on Yom Kippur and do not describe it as the Mikra Kodesh and do Malacha on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur will help those people as well. Tamalama Yom Kippurim who? It is Yom Kippur, meaning that there's a Koach Hayom even for the person who doesn't honor Yom Kippur. So, I'm sorry, Yom Kippur, who mikol makom. It's Yom Kippur. So, we are now thoroughly confused because in the second Sifra that we just quoted, it sounds like for the person who is not honoring Yom Kippur, he's violating Yom Kippur, so still Yom Kippur is going to be a mechaper. Yom Kippur is going to be effective. So certainly you get the impression over here that Yom Kippur works for everybody, even for the people who are not shav. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Lokasha HaRebi HaRebi Yehuda. So Abai says, okay, so look, I know the rule is Tam Sifras to Rebbe Yehuda, but, okay, that's, you know, for every rule there are exceptions. And obviously over here we have to look at exceptions as Abaye. Meaning the first Sifra that we quoted is Shitas Rebbe Yehuda. The second Sifra that we just quoted is going like Rebbe. Okay. Rava Amar Havaha Rebbe. Rava gives a different approach. In that, in both of these sifras that we just quoted, even though the rule is Stam Sifra Rebbe Yehuda, they're both actually going like Rebbe. That Yom Kippur by itself is going to be a Mechaper. Umod Rebbe Bekaris to Yuma. However, Rebbe will agree to the following. Even though Rebbe normally subscribes to this idea, that Yom Kippur by itself is a Mechaper. That's normally true. However, if the person is violating Yom Kippur itself, so then Yom Kippur cannot be Mechaper for itself. It's like the idea the Gemara says in a number of other places, a person can't get himself out of jail. Right? Somebody else can release him from prison, but the person can't get himself out of jail. Yom Kippur can provide a Kapara for other Averos. Yom Kippur can't provide a Kapara for itself, for the violation of itself. And the Gemara points out, and Rebbe even agrees to this idea. So the Gemara says, because consider, we know that the Torah says that someone who violates Yom Kippur is going to be subject to the Karis penalty. Now, according to Rebbe, that is a stira mine ube, right? It's a riddle, according to Rebbe, right? Think about it. Yom Kippur is, if someone violates Yom Kippur, he's going to be chayv kares. Rebbe also happens to be of the opinion that Yom Kippur is a mechaper automatically. So, it's a riddle. How can a person violate Yom Kippur and receive the kares penalty? Now, the Torah says that there is a kares penalty, but at the same time, Yom Kippur, according to Rebbe, is an automatic mechaper. So your record is going to be immediately expunged on Yom Kippur when you violate Yom Kippur, and meanwhile the Torah says you're going to get kares. How can that be? So the Gemara says, so what the Gemara therefore is arguing is that this must therefore teach us that, according to Rebbe, Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur is an automatic mechaper for all other averus except for the violation of Yom Kippur itself. So the Gemara says, well, yeah, but as long as you go, in other words, you don't have to experience the entire day of Yom Kippur. Meaning, according to Rebbe, just a moment of Yom Kippur, and that's a mechaper. Okay. So the Gemara says, well, as far as this riddle is concerned, the riddle is not so hard to solve. So alamalo, the Gemara says, mishkachala kegon davar balayla. Umis delo asa yamamala chapurilei. So the Gemara says, it's funny, because the Gemara didn't teach us this distinction. The Gemara teaches us the distinction through the example that it just gave. Even when Rebbe says that Yom Kippur is a mechaper, it's only itzumo shel yom. It has to literally be the day of Yom Kippur. Now, I know in halacha we view day as night and day, but in terms of Yom Kippur and the effectiveness of Yom Kippur, you need mamish, the day itself. So in other words, if a person violates Yom Kippur at night and he dies at night, so such an individual can receive kares. So that's one solution to the riddle of, according to Rebbe, how can a person receive kares for Yom Kippur? So he violates Yom Kippur at night. So, not if he doesn't do tshuva. He has to, right? He has to do tshuva. Ella Ema. So the Gemara says fine. Ella Ema Karis Diyamama Larebi Leislay. So the Gemara says okay. You're right. So what we're going to do is just we're going to reset the riddle. But in other words, it's not going to be as, you know, as powerful as it was previously. So fine. So you're right. So if a person violates Yom Kippur at night, so you're right. Yom Kippur is not an automatic mechaper according to Rebbe. But let's limit ourselves to the day of Yom Kippur. Can a person violate the day of Yom Kippur and receive kares for a violation of Yom Kippur during the day? So the Gemara says, yeah, alam alo. The Gemara says once again, there is a solution to this riddle as well. Mishkach alam dachu umtsa v'chanke umes. So the Gemara says that what he did is that he ate a piece of meat. Right? Umsa usually is a description of a raw piece of meat. But he ate a piece of meat on Yom Kippur. So now, while eating that piece of meat, so he's violating the Isser Kares of Inisa Mesnafsho Sechem. And he dies while choking on that piece of meat. So, riddle solved. Meaning, so how could he, in other words, he didn't finish the piece of meat so that Yom Kippur now could provide the kapara. Meaning you need a moment of non-avera time of Yom Kippur in order to be mechaper. Which, if the person now choked on the piece of meat, he doesn't have that. Or, the Gemara gives another solution to the riddle. Inami da'achal samach l'shkia sachama de'lahave shalsa chapurile. Or, let's say he ate right before shkia sachama on Yom Kippur. So, ni'ila time, everyone's running to ni'ila, and he's running now to go grab a bite to eat. So for such an individual, according to Rebbe, now that he's eating samach l'shkiyas hachama, which means that there's no longer any day of, all right, non-avera time on Yom Kippur. So that's another example where Yom Kippur would not be mechaper. Okay. Again, right now the Gemara, this is all according to Rebbe. This discussion of the Gemara over here is all within the sheet of Rebbe. Happens to be the sheet that we don't subscribe. I mean, the Rambam doesn't subscribe to, but within the sheet of Rebbe, where Yom Kippur is an automatic mechaper, even for averus, the dumb bezadon, and even when a person doesn't do tshuva. So how do you ever receive kares for violating Yom Kippur according to Rebbe? So it's a riddle, but the Gemara gave three solutions altogether about how we can get to kares even according to Rebbe. Okay, echa yisrael ve'echa kohanim ve'echa kohen meshua echa guf akasha. Okay, we noted this when we read the Mishnah all the way back 2 weeks ago and just in the beginning of this morning's shiur as well. So the Mishnah kind of soaks itself. On one hand, it says, Echad Yisrael ve'echa kohen ve'echa kohen meshuach. It says that the seer mishalech provides a kapar for everyone, kohen and non-kohen alike. V'hadotani ma ben Yisrael le'kohen ve'le'kohen meshuach. And then the very next line of the Mishnah is that there's a difference. What? How did that work? So I'm Rav Yehuda Achikamer. And again, Rav Yehuda comes along, second time today. Today's daf, Rav Yehuda comes along and irons out the Mishnah. Echad Yisrael ve'echa kohen ve'echa kohen meshuach miskaper b'seer mishalech b'shar averos. As far as the seer mishalech is concerned, that's for everybody. That is a universal mechaper. It applies to both kohen and non-kohen alike. Ve'ein chiluk b'neihem. And there's no difference between the kohen and the non-kohen. Ma ben Yisrael l'kohanim l'kohen mashiach. So what is the difference? Because there is one. Elo she'apar mechaper l'kohanim al tumas mikdash v'kadosh v'chulei. Ah. The difference is in terms of the Isser of Tumas Mikdash VeKadoshav. By Tumas Mikdash VeKadoshav, which has really been the bulk of our first 13 days of the Masechta, so there's a distinction between Kohen and non-Kohen. For us non-Kohanim, so where do we turn to for our Kapara? The Seer. For the Kohanim, where do they turn to for the Kapara of Tumas Mikdash VeKadoshav? The Par. And that's where the difference lies between Kohen and non-Kohen. But vis-a-vis Sharaveros, we are all going to be receiving our kapara from the Seir HaMishtalech, both coin and non-coin, and this is all the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Umani Rabbi Yehuda Yidetani. The Gemara here quotes the Brisa. I'll read the Brisa quickly, and then tomorrow we'll pick it up right after the Brisa. V'chiper is Mikdash HaKadosh Zelefnei V'lefnei Meso HaMoed Zeheichal Mizbech Kemashma'o Yichaper Elo Azaros Kohanim Kemashma'an Imakal Elo Yisrael Yichaper Elo HaLevim According to Rabbi Yehuda, we are all receiving our kapara through the Seir Mishalech. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. Kishem Shadam Seir Nasa Bifni Mechaper Yisrael Atumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, Kach Dam Apar Mechaper L'Kohanim Atumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. So just like for the Isser of violating Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, the non-Kohanim get it from the Seir Nasa Bifnim. The Kohanim get it from the Par Nasa Bifnim. And according to Rabbi Shimon, there is also going to be a segregation for Shar Averos as well. That we, the non-Kohanim, are going to be receiving it from the Seir Mishalech, and the Kohanim are going to be receiving their Shar Averos Kapara from the Par. That's the end of the Brisa. Tomorrow we pick it up right after the Brisa. Tomorrow we're going to be discussing where does this machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda come from? Where's the source of it? To be continued.